purpose of the prayer. And essentially, it gives us kind of a roadmap of why we should be praying as Christ followers. And there's many, many reasons as to why we should pray. But we're going to look at week two of this, and we're going to look at another one of Paul's prayers for the early church. And like I said last week, we see this pattern throughout these prayers that he has for the church. Basically, he will make a specific prayer, then he'll follow it with "so that," and then he gives the reason why. So he kind of lays it out. Last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 3, where he said, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And what we really discussed and focused in on is as followers of Christ, not only should we be praying and communicating with God, but we should be praying big, specific prayers. Prayers that only God can answer. That when he answers them, or when he does that thing, or he heals you or whatever, people looking on, the only thing that they could say is, "Man, that was 100% a God thing." There's no other explanation for it. So we need to begin praying big, bold, and specific prayers. And today, I want to talk about a prayer that Paul prayed that's honestly one of the most important things that we can pray for others as well as for ourselves as followers of Christ. Let me just ask, if you knew that there was a specific prayer that you could pray for others as well as for yourself, and as the result, they would have a full understanding of everything, every good thing that God has in their life and in store for their life, would you pray that prayer if you knew that you could gain that full understanding of those good things in your life? We would. We would want that. We would want that for ourselves, and we would want that for others. And so that's what we see Paul praying. That's the reason why he prays the prayer. And what he prays is that they would continue to be active in sharing their faith. He prays for the church that they would be active in sharing their faith. So let's check out this prayer. We find it in the book of Philemon. And this is a great book in the New Testament. It's full of wisdom. There's a lot of great things that we can pull out, a lot of great application as believers and just in life in general. And maybe one of the greatest parts of it is it's one chapter. It's 25 verses. It's my kind of book. You read that one day and you're like, "Man, I read a whole book of the Bible today." You know, you're feeling good about yourself. Some people may not know. That's just one chapter. But hey, it's short, sweet, and it's to the point. And so when we look at this, we see that Paul actually wrote this to one of his friends, Philemon. So normally he was writing letters to the church, but he wrote a letter to a specific person. And Philemon was this, he was a successful businessman. He was a follower of Christ. And he also had like a house church, basically, that met at his place where he stayed. And the backstory to this is that one of Philemon's servants, or as the Bible refers to it, as slaves, his name was Onesimus, and he ran away from him. Okay, so the servant just ran away from him, went to Rome, and while he was in Rome, he had an encounter with Paul. He met Paul, and they really hit it off, and Paul began to invest in him and forge a relationship with him, and as a result of that, Onesimus came to know Jesus through that. And Paul was investing in him, and he was changed, like he was transformed completely through Jesus. And one thing he realized was Paul, I need to go back. I need to go back to Philemon, and I need to make things right. And so what Paul does is he's like, "Well, I know Philemon. He's a good dude. And, so I'm going to write him a letter, and I'm going to vouch for you. And I'm going to say, you need to receive him back. Yes, he ran away, but, man, don't treat him like that." The beautiful thing that I love about this, and there's so much just beauty and application in this, but he says, he writes in his letter that he wanted him to receive him back. Don't receive him as a slave, but as a dear brother. As a brother in Christ, as an equal. He said, "No, you're not going to receive him back the way he was, because he's a changed man." And in reality, we're all in God's eyes, equal, especially those who come into a relationship with Jesus. We're his family. We're his sons and his daughters. Therefore, you are brothers and sisters. So treat them as such. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few different verses in the book of Philemon as it relates to this prayer that he prays. So Philemon chapter 1, only chapter, verses 4 through 6, this is what Paul writes. He says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. He says, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith. And as a result, you do that so that you can understand every good thing that we have in Christ. You know, and as I read this chapter, right, and I kind of work through it, it gets me thinking a little bit about the backstory and about this prayer. And this isn't necessarily spelled out in Scripture. This is some human thought in reading this and kind of breaking it down. But I start to think that, so this servant, right, Onesimus, he runs away. He was working for Philemon, right? So he was there in his home where he had a church. But he was there, runs away. He's scared, he's hurting, he's questioning, he's lost, confused, whatever it may be. And then he meets Paul. And Paul actually takes the time to share his faith with him, to teach him about Jesus, to tell him that, hey, you could be different. And maybe Philemon's like, you know what, but I did this, and I did that. And Paul's like, you know what? I was there. Actually, I was worse. Before I came to know Jesus, you know, I used to actually persecute Christians. That was my life mission. That's what I did. I went and persecuted Christians. I even killed them. But Jesus changed me, radically transformed me into something new. And he said he could do the same for you. And Philemon received that. He received, he confessed, he believed, and Christ came into his life and changed him forever, forgave him. A new creation. Old things passed away. All things were new. He was made right before God. And maybe throughout this process, Paul started to think to himself, well, I know Philemon. He's a Christ follower. He has a church in his home. Yet this guy, this servant that was his, doesn't know Jesus? What was Philemon doing? Was he just focused on the Christ followers in his community? Or was he focused on everyone? Was he loving God and loving all people? Or was he just focused on his little community? Believers. Because there was someone that worked for him that was lost, didn't know Jesus. So maybe that's why Paul writes to him and says, man, don't forget about sharing your faith. Be active in sharing your faith, not just with believers, but with those who don't know Christ. For the people that God brings into your life, be active in sharing your faith with them. Maybe that's what Paul, that's why he wrote that. That's why he was praying that for him. You see, one of the things that we do, unfortunately, As followers of Christ, we fall into this inward-looking, self-centered mindset from time to time. It's easy to slip into. Like I've said before, I grew up in the church. I've been to a few different churches throughout my life. My earliest memories are in Sunday school with flannel graph boards, right? So, like, I mean, I've been around church and Christ followers my whole life. And unfortunately, I would have to say I've seen and experienced a lot more inward-focused, self-centered, sit-and-huddle Christians than I have people who are out there actively sharing and, most importantly, living their faith. See, this mindset of it's about us is toxic. It's one of the things that the enemy uses to keep us sidelined and keeps us from reaching out and sharing our faith with people so that they come to know Jesus. We get this mindset, or sometimes we're even taught this, that we have to stay away from the world, right? The world. I used to hear that all the time. Don't do worldly things. Stay away from worldly. That we have to isolate, that we have to push that away, that the world is bad and we are good. They are less than, we are righteous. But we have to be active in sharing our faith. We have to really get out there. We have to be in the world. Not of the world, but we have to be out in it. Doesn't mean we have to participate in everything that's going on around us, but we need to be out there. We're called to be a light into the darkness. You got a dark room over here and a candle over here or a flashlight like we have. That flashlight is not helping over here. It's not helping someone walk through that. The flashlight actually has to go into the darkness to actually be utilized. A flashlight in daylight and lights like this is pointless. And if we are truly the light, we have to be in the darkness to shine. We have to go out into the world. We have to live our faith. It's one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 5:8. That says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as children of light." You can't live as a child of light, of what you have received through Jesus. You can't go shine if you're not in the darkness. You just can't. But the problem is there are so many of us that have become inward looking. So many quote unquote Christians out there that long and live to just argue with people that think differently. Argue with people over things that honestly don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. We're more focused on arguing, and for one, that's not effective in leading people to Jesus. You're not on mission if that's the case. But maybe the worst thing is not only is it not effective, but it's actually driving people further and further away from God. When we sit on our soapbox and we say, we've got it all right, we're saved, Jesus has come and changed us, and then we use that as a weapon or to point the finger or to say we're right and you're wrong and we want to argue over nothing, we're driving people further away from the church and further away from Christ. Now, I was thinking about this in my life with some of my friends and the people that I've come into contact with, and honestly, some of my best friends that don't know Jesus. And I've been thinking about, why is that? Why is it that they don't want anything to do with the church? Why is it that they aren't even necessarily willing to give God a chance? That they're just so standoffish and I had this thought that ran through my mind, and it's that people don't typically reject Jesus because of how he lived or even who he claimed to be. But they reject him because of what people and the church have done with it afterwards. Unfortunately, we as a movement at times are using it as a weapon, not as this free gift of grace and mercy and love, an opportunity to be made right before God. We want to point the finger, or we just don't say anything at all. We just hold it into ourselves and we huddle and we isolate and we say God is good and we hang out with nothing but a bunch of Christians and then we go on with our life. Either way, that mindset is toxic and it's not beneficial and it's not helping anyone. And I think everyone that's sitting in this room would agree with Paul in that we must be active in sharing our faith. That as Christ followers is important. I think I could ask every person who claims the name of Jesus pretty much, and they're going to say, yes, it's important to share and live out your faith. But again, if we took a survey of how many people that actually shared their faith this week, this month, or this year even, percentages are going to be low. We have to be active in sharing our faith. And we have all kinds of excuses and reasons to why we don't. yeah, it's important to share my faith, but I just got so busy. You know, work is, I'm slammed at work. I got to cart the kids all around to different sporting events and, you know, and I've got to do this and I went and do this and I was so burnt out I needed to go have some me time and so I went and did this and we're not actively sharing our faith because we think we're too busy. Or maybe it's more that we don't want to be the weird Jesus follower, right? We don't want people to look on us at us and think that, you know, we're odd. That all we ever do is talk about God. God, 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 Jesus, 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 and we can't have a normal conversation. We don't want to be that weird guy at work or that weird woman at work. Or maybe it's that we're worried about being lumped into the same category as all those people on Facebook that are constantly just judging and throwing stones at people. So instead of actually living it out and sharing our faith and introducing them to who Jesus really is, we just do nothing. Because we're worried about being lumped into that same category. Or maybe we don't share our faith and aren't active in that like we should because we feel that we don't know enough. I've met so many people that say, you know, I really want to share my faith. I want to live out my faith. But I just don't know enough. Like if I start to share it and they ask me those tough questions, I don't know answers. So I don't want to look stupid. So I'm just not going to share. I think the funny thing about that, it's kind of ironic because it's really the opposite of what Paul is telling us, right? We think that we can't share our faith because we don't know enough, but what Paul is saying is, hey, if you share your faith, you'll have a fuller understanding of everything that's good. You'll have more knowledge, more wisdom. You'll see the importance and the reason of why we should be sharing our faith, but you actually have to get out there and do it, right? It kind of becomes this cycle. It's a process. Basically, you share your faith, right? And as you do that, you start to see lives changed. Like you will. When you begin to actively and truly share your faith, you're going to see God begin to change lives. And as you do that, and you see that, and you experience that, and God uses you to do something incredible, you begin to grow. Your faith strengthens. You get that fuller understanding, that deeper understanding of who he is and every good thing, right? And then you start to do that. And then you become more outward and more loving as a result of that. And then the next thing you know, you begin to share your faith even more. And then that process continues. Life change. You grow deeper. You're more outward and loving. And then you share your faith more. And then it becomes a part of your life. A part of who you are. We have to be active in sharing our faith. If we are truly going to claim the name of Jesus, and call ourselves Christ followers, and say that we believe this, we have to share our faith. There's no question about it. It's non-negotiable. You have to be active in sharing your faith. So last week we said we were going to begin as a church and as individuals to pray for strength and power, right? So that we could pray big, bold, and specific prayers. And I hope that you've begun to implement that into your prayer life. And today I want to encourage you to begin to pray for others as well as for yourself, that you would be active in sharing your faith. But understand that when you begin to pray this, know that God is then going to begin to tee up opportunities for you to actually share your faith. So you need to be ready. When you begin to ask God, God, help me to be active in sharing my faith, those opportunities will be there and you're going to see them. You're going to live more wide awake and you've got to be ready. You got to be willing. And so for the rest of our time this morning, I want to share with you four very simple yet very effective ways that we see from Scripture that you can share your faith, that you can be active in sharing your faith. It's really not that difficult. It's really not as challenging as sometimes we make it out to be. So four very simple yet very effective ways that we can be active in sharing our faith that we see from Scripture. And the first one is this, is that you can be loving but direct. right? Loving but direct. Not just direct, not necessarily just loving, but direct. And we see this in Acts chapter 2 when Peter, he's out there preaching to like thousands and thousands of people. And to these people, what he's preaching basically is that you need to repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's about as direct as it gets to tell someone, hey, you need God. You need to repent of your sin. You need to repent of the bad things that you do. Turn to Jesus and be baptized. It's very direct. But it wasn't hate-filled. It wasn't throwing shots at how they were living or what they were doing. It's just direct and loving. Like, I love you. I want you to be set free. I want you to know Jesus. And this is what you have to do. It's very direct about this is what it is. Confess. You believe. Confess your sins. And let God take over. Let him lead. Let him be the Lord and Savior of your life. It wasn't abrasive. It wasn't watered down. It was just to the point. And sometimes we need to do that. We have to be that way. Loving, but direct. A lot of times this is reserved for those people in your life that you have a good relationship with. And I want you to hear that, especially in 2019. It's a different world. It's a different world than just when I grew up. I mean, I grew up going on Saturday mornings and visitation where you'd go, you'd knock on someone's door, you know, they'd open the door and you'd share, you'd ask them, you know, if they go to church anywhere, you know, do you know Jesus is your Savior, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, sometimes you had good responses and you were able to lead people to Christ. Sometimes it was just, you know, no thank you, but it was always pleasant. Go do that today and see what happens. It's not going to go real well. But you can be very direct and loving with the people that you have a close relationship with that don't know Jesus. You can be a little more bold with those people. Loving but direct. I always think about, there's a guy that is out on Dixie Highway lot, and he's got this big red like SUV, and it's like plastered all around it. Like the windows are wrapped with it. And it's like heaven or hell, your choice. And there's just scripture verses all over it. And it stands on the side of the road and tells people to repent. And you're going to burn. And just a lot of just scare tactics, honestly. And just, it's not great. And the heart there is, I'm sure, very pure. But it's not getting a lot of great responses. I'll never forget the first time we pulled up, it was in the summer and windows were down and we were a red light and he was right there and he was yelling and yelling. And I don't remember if it was Amelia or Sawyer, but they're like, what is he doing? And I'm like, well, he's trying to follow what he believes he should be doing and trying to help people to come to Jesus. And one of them was like, well, that's good, but I don't know if that's the right way to do it. And I was like, okay, I hear you. But sometimes we need to be direct. It's okay to have some of those conversations when God tees that up and when he leads you to. That's why you have to be connected with the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. And if he's leading you to be direct, do it. But always, always, always be loving. Always be loving. Another way that we can begin to be active in sharing our faith is that you can share your story. I'm sure this is what Paul did with Onesimus, you know, about his story and where he was. But always share your faith using your story. It's one of the greatest tools that you have in how Jesus has changed you, how he transformed you, how you were once full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord, and how you've been radically changed as a result. I think there's a story in John chapter 9 about a man who was blind since birth, never saw, and Jesus healed him, right? And then after Jesus healed him, of course, the Pharisees did what the Pharisees did. You know, they were always out there, and they started arguing and debating over what Jesus did. Well, he healed on the Sabbath, so he must be a sinner. Or maybe this guy wasn't even blind in the first place, and they're just tricking us. Or maybe he was blind because of sin in his parents' life. And whose fault is it that he was blind? Now, they're just arguing over these dumb things. And this guy said, hey, look, I don't really know what all you're talking about. I don't get it. I don't understand it. All I know is that I was once blind. And then Jesus came into my life and I had this interaction with him and now I can see. I'm set free. I have vision. Those chains that held me captive before physically through my vision is they're gone. They've been torn down because of Jesus and what he did in my life. He's like, I don't know about all that other noise. All I can tell you is about what God did for me. He's sharing his story. And his story is a beautiful way to share his faith. And it's the same thing for you. Just share your story. How once you were addicted to this and then Jesus transformed you and set you free. Or how once you struggled with anger and just rage, honestly, and then God came into your life and began to transform you from the inside out, and now you're full of peace and joy. And sure, you have those moments, but when you do, God begins to bring you back and begins to settle you down. Maybe it's how you made some big mistakes in your family and you screwed up big time. But then Jesus came in and began to heal you. And as a result, began to heal and transform your family. Whatever your story is, I promise you, there's someone else that's in the same boat. And when you begin to open up and share your story, they're going to be like, seriously? Man, I'm in that same spot. And you can be like, yeah, I get it. I was there. It's rough. But let me tell you how I overcame that. It wasn't me. It was through Jesus. And then you begin to share your faith through your story. Very simple. And it should be very personal to you. And you can do that. You need to be loving and direct. We can share our story. The third thing is incredibly simple. And that's you can just invite people to church. Not too many people get all worked up about that. That's why we got the invite cards that we have. That's why I've been kind of on y'all about that. Right? Invite people to church. Maybe you're a little worried, or maybe you still come with some of that fear that you don't know enough and you're kind of trying to ease your foot in the water. That's fine. Give someone an invite card. It's real simple. Invite them to church. Hey, come to Life Point Church. Give it a try. Promise you, you can come, you're not going to be judged. Just come, check it out. You can invite people. John chapter 4, this is what we see at the woman at the well, right? This woman, she come to draw water, a Samaritan woman, and Jesus began to have a dialogue and a conversation with her, which was a no-no in their culture anyways. But he's like, I don't care, I'm going to talk to this woman, and I'm going to change her life. She's here to draw water, and I'm going to provide living water for her. And so they had this conversation, and he tells her basically about herself. And then her response is then to go and tell everyone in her city, like, hey, come back and meet this guy. This dude that just told me everything about me. And he offered me this living water, this opportunity to be set free, this opportunity to move past what I've been through or what I've done and step into a relationship. She went and told everybody and invited them to come back to meet Jesus. You can be active in sharing your faith very simply by just inviting people to church. The fourth way that we can be active in sharing our faith, and it's probably one of the most important today, is that you can live a life that others will want. You be active in sharing your faith through your life, right? Through the way that you live, not through just words. Anyone can spew that out, but living it, that's a totally different story. And that's what people long to see. People in my generation, they don't want lip service. They've heard it all. They see it all. It's easy. They want to see someone that actually lives it. That's what's going to transform people. That's what's going to draw people in. They're going to be like, man, I want what you have. Because I've heard this from this quote-unquote Christian. I've seen this from this group of people. But you, man, the way you live is different. The way you love people is different. Everyone else pushed me away because of the way I lived or my lifestyle or whatever it is. But man, you came in and you just loved me. You just cared about me. And then you begin to talk about this Jesus, and that's why. And that's not the Jesus I've ever heard. But when we live like Jesus, it's infectious. And people will want what you have. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, they were both in prison, right? And it's wild that they're in prison and they start worshiping, right? So they have like this little worship service right there in prison. And I'm sure the guards were like, well, this is new. Normally people in prison aren't happy and worshiping God for how good he is. But that's what they were doing. And then an earthquake happens, right? And all the prison gates, they open. They could leave. And so this prison guard, he's freaked out. He's like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and kill myself, because once they find out that all the prisoners have escaped, I'm toast anyways. All right, and Paul's like, whoa, hold up. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're here. We're not going anywhere. We're not running. We're right here, so no need to harm yourself. And as a result of that kind of faith, living like Jesus, the prison guard came to know Jesus that day because of how they lived. Because of when that time came, they made an impact on him through their life, right? They lived a life that prison guard wanted. It was something different. It was radical. It was authentic, genuine. It was living a life like Jesus. That is so infectious. And the same, you can do the same. That when you actually encounter tough times in your life, when you get that peace that goes beyond all understanding, people are going to look in and be like, man, you're going through one of the worst times imaginable. You're able to hold your head up. You're able to care about other people. You're not just isolating, thinking about yourself. Like, why? And you say, well, it's just a God thing. I don't know. God just, he's so good in my life, and he's given me peace, and he's allowed me to take one step in front of the other. Or like I said earlier, when you encounter someone that doesn't believe like you believe, somebody that is different or living a lifestyle that you maybe think is not okay, but yet you still love them. You still come into community with them. You're not hateful. You're not throwing stones at them. You're not telling them how terrible of a person they are and why. You just love them. Love God, love people. We can live a life like Jesus. Sure, like I said, the first thing is there's times to be loving and direct. We're not going to water down the message. The truth is the truth. But we don't have to be jerks about it. We can be loving, and we should love all people. That's what we're called to do, to love God and love people. So LifePoint Church, may we truly be a church that prays. Pray bold and specific prayers, right? But we also need to be praying for God to give us opportunities to be active in sharing our faith. To have opportunities to speak truth and live the truth of Jesus in a way that's infectious, that people come to know him as Savior, so that lives can be changed. And I pray that for each of you today, and I hope that you pray that for me as well, that we would be active in living and sharing our faith. Paul prayed, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So when you ask, why pray? Specifically, why pray to be active in sharing your faith? One, because we know life change is a result of that. When we're active sharing our faith, the Holy Spirit uses that and he begins to radically transform lives. And also, we know that as a result, we'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And when you understand all the good things that you have in Christ and how he's transformed you, you want nothing more than to live more like him and share your faith more. you begin to impact the world around you. So be active in sharing your faith. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Be active in sharing your faith today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. First and foremost, that we have the opportunity to come into your presence, that we have the opportunity to speak to you, to speak your name. God, we're just so thankful for that. And Lord, may we, with that privilege, exercise it and pray and speak to you, be in relationship with you. God, may we pray bold and specific prayers for ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our community, for the world around us. Not safe prayers, but bold. But you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never received him as your Savior. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter at this point. All that matters is that I want you to understand and know how much God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you could be made whole again. You could be made right before the Father, because we can't do it on our own. We could never be good enough. We could never do enough works. We could never follow all the rules, all the do's and don'ts. We just can't. We can strive to, but we're always going to fail because we're just flawed people. Many of us, good people. I know a lot of good people that don't know Christ. They need him. They need to receive him. And so if that's you this morning, just step over that line of faith. Just receive him as Savior. Allow him to come into your life and transform you. Create a new creature within you. Old things have passed away. All things are new. A new being. One connected to him. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. So you confess and believe this morning. Confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and believe that God sent his son to die for you, to make it right. Receive him as your Lord and Savior today. But maybe you're here this morning and for you, you are a Christ follower, but you're letting excuses reign. You're not sharing your faith. You're not living it out. You're just going through the motions. I get it. I've been there. It's so easy to be inward focused. It's so easy to get wrapped up in our culture and in what society tells us, and that it's all about us, and it's about making a better image of us, and, you know, and putting ourselves out there, whatever. Not knocking certain things. But what's important as a follower of Jesus is that we live out our calling, live out our mission, and that is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You have people in your life, I know you do, in your neighborhoods, at your jobs, at your communities, at daycare, at the kids' sporting events, other families, people that you come into contact with every day that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And it is your calling, your mission, to be active in sharing your faith. So do it. Be about it. Overcome whatever hurdles or obstacles that you have put in the way. Allow Jesus to tear those things down and you begin becoming active in sharing your faith. Do it today. Simple steps. Tell your story. Maybe just break it down honestly, loving and direct to a friend. Hand out an invite card. Just live a life like Jesus. Begin to be active in sharing your faith. I promise you, when you do that, the lives of those around you will change and you will begin to change. Whatever it is that God is leading you right now, whatever he's speaking to you, whatever that may be, you just do business with God as Jared and the team play a song, but you just do business with him. Tithes and our offerings, the team will come forward. Here at Life Point Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes, or there'll be a basket out in the lobby on your way out. Or you can go to our website. There's top right-hand corner, an online giving button. You can click it. It takes you to a safe and secure place to give. But either way, either platform that you use, we just encourage you to be faithful in your giving, to give back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with, so that we continue to reach out and just reach in love on as many people as possible. So we encourage you to be faithful in the giving that way. Also, if this is your first time out, man, thank you so much for being here this morning, for coming and checking out Life Point Church. If you take a second and fill out a connection card, there's one in your bulletin if you receive that on your way in, or you can pick one up in the back tables to your left on the way out or at the info table. Just take a second, fill out just whatever information you're comfortable filling out. You can exchange that for a little gift from us. That way we say thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time to fill that out. We just want to connect with you, know you a little bit better, begin to start doing life with you. Also, if you made any decisions for Christ, have any questions, prayer needs, anything like that, you can do that on the connection card as well. It's just a great way to communicate with us. And you can leave that at the info table in the basket on your way out. Other than that, I don't think we have any other announcements. Man, thank you so much for being here this morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you have an awesome, relaxing, chill day, or whatever kind of day you want to have. I hope that you have it. Man, we love you all. We thank you for being a part of Life Point Church. And again, man, take some connection the invite cards, pass some of those out this week. Invite a friend. It's just it's an easy way to begin sharing your faith. But seriously, be active in sharing your faith this week. If it's uncomfortable for you, just step out. Allow God to use you in that way. I promise you, He will. And so just be faithful and willing to step out and do that, and be praying for that this week. And I'll be praying for you that you would have the boldness to step out and share your faith this week. And we'll start, we'll do week 3 next week. So come out back for that in Why I Pray. And we'll see you next week. Jared and the team is going to lead us out. Thank you all.
All right, church, let's stand and sing on our way out this morning.